them all, so make sure you take a look at them. They're all have something for you. I want to start out with our Shawnee mentoring program. There's these forms that are out as you leave the sanctuary on the table there, and there's a place for you to fill it out and put it in a basket. If you served on the Shawnee mentoring last year, there is a place in here to put the name of the child and what grade they were in then, and we want to keep you with that same child going through their school year if that works for you. Doesn't have to, but put that information on here. We do need a form for anybody who did it last year, as well as anybody that wants to participate in the program. It's 1 hour a week commitment. You meet with the child every week, and you're basically just there to be with that child, playing games, whatever, just encouraging them. And you get to know that person, and you kind of interact with them throughout the year. Just a stable adult in their life throughout the school year. So I encourage you to participate. It was a blessed time for me last year, and I encourage you. Also, there's a card shower. See that in the screen one for Karen Turner. She has moved out of the area because of health reasons to be with her son that's in North Carolina. But we want to stay connected if we can somehow. Her birthday's coming up, so if you can send a card, she would appreciate that. The Women United Circle is canceled tomorrow, or this week, whatever day it was supposed to meet. Also, the Men of Faith will be meeting tomorrow, so come on out. We have Stephen Taylor from the Bridges of Hope is going to be our speaker there for that. And the blood drive needs your help. There's not so many signed up yet, so sign up. I try to do this, every time they come around here. It's a great way just to give a little bit of yourself in many different ways in order to support people in our community. Ad board meets this week, and we will be able to look at a couple announcements on there. If you want to get involved in the Stephen Ministries or the choir, please take note of that. We can always use help in those areas to bless our community of faith here at Faith Community. With that, let us prepare for worship as we take in our prelude this morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. It is printed in your bulletin and on the screens. Children of God, for the sake of the joy, we gather to worship.
We gather to encounter grace and to grow in faith.
For the sake of the joy, we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ.
We proclaim the love of God that surrounds us and forms us into a community marked by love for God, self, neighbor, and all creation.
For the sake of the joy, we respond with our lives.
We respond ready to embody our faith as agents of God.
Thank you, and remain standing for our opening hymn, God of Love and God of Power. You may be seated. And please join me in our opening prayer that is printed in your bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, hear our prayers and songs of praise. We join voices from ancient times that place their trust in you in days of joy or pain. Inspire us in this hour, that we may never surrender to despair. Renew in us enduring faith, even as we join eternally in song. Amen. And I would love for the children to come forward for a quick children's sermon.
Come on over.
All right. Am I on?
Can you guys, on.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right. Guys, I have a question for you, and then are you ready for this? After the question, I'm going to give you a test.
All ready.
The question is, have you started back to school yet, or will you start this week with your studies? Yes? You already had a half week. School time again, isn't it? Well, that's why I thought we should have a test.
Thanks, Julie.
And this is a multiple choice test. There's three questions, and we're going to ask everybody. So you guys listen too. We're going to see what we come up with as a congregation. So, question number one. How many of each animal did Moses take on the ark with him? Was it one, two, three, or zero? So raise your hand if you think it was one animal. Raise your hand if you think it's two animals. Quite a few people. Raise your hand if you think it's three animals. And how about zero?
I got it.
Oh.
I just want you to know I got it.
Okay. Well, why do you think it's zero?
Yeah.
Moses didn't have the ark. It was Noah.
Got us. Got us all.
Luke is ready for school, let me tell you. I love it. All right, question number two. And this one may be a little more for the older generation than you guys, but here's the question. And this is just a yes or no, or true or false question, or yes or no question. Are automobiles mentioned in the Bible? How many of you think yes? And how many think no? Well, the answer is yes, because in Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all in one accord. An accord is a type of car, guys. So there was a car mentioned in the Bible. So, all right, those were kind of trick questions. This one is not as tricky. So question number three, according to the Bible, think about your math here. According to the Bible, can 1 + 1 ever equal 3? Yes or no? Raise your hand if you think the answer is yes. 1 + 1 = 3. Raise your hand if you think the answer is no. Well, the answer is yes. Because the Bible says that when one or more are gathered together, guess who else is with them?
Jesus.
Absolutely. And so Jesus is there too. So I think we should do something different. When we do our attendance for the week, we should list our attendance plus one.
Okay.
Christ is here too. So, all right. I just thought it would be fun to start off today with some questions since you guys are heading back to school. And we want to wish you guys all the very best in your studies this year. Let's end with a short prayer. Dear Lord, please be with these children and all children as they head back to school this school year, and be with the teachers and the helpers that are going to help them grow. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
And I have some treats for you guys right here. And if you would like to turn to your next song, it is I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, and it's hymn number 206.
I want to walk as a child of the light.
us go into our time of prayer, keeping our faith at the forefront of our minds. Let us pray. Amazing and beautiful God, we come to you together as this community of faith. Lord, we ask that you would, as we just sang, may the light of Jesus be shining within us. We ask that it would be one that shines with us in all things. Whether it is in an exciting time in our lives when we are ready to rejoice with you and in our situations and everything that is around us, we want to be able to see it all. And Lord, when we are struggling with things that are happening in our lives, or if there's just a challenge in front of us, or if it's just the anxiousness of coming to school for the new year, or just a change in our lives with a new birth in the family, maybe some struggles are in there, Lord, we just ask that you would truly be the light, to light our path in front of us so that we can see what each step, where it will go. Sometimes we want to see all of our steps, Lord, but we just ask that you would give us at least one. Be able to see that we have enough confidence in you that we know we can take one in front of the other. Lord, we know that this is something that should be something we can do on our own. And often we think we can do everything on our own. But Lord, as we come to know you, we understand there's so much we can't. But through you, we can do all things. You give us courage to take that step. You give us strength to be able to see beyond ourselves. You open our eyes to the whole new understanding of what it is to be alive in this world with you walking with us, being in us, and working through us. So Lord, in this day, as we consider faith, may we grasp a hold of what faith truly is for us. Our faith in Jesus Christ, who gave us a whole new way of life, who called us for a renewal of who we are through the power of the Holy Spirit to become like you, to be love in the world that does not love as it should. Lord, there's so much about faith that we take for granted. Lord, we want to submit to you. So hold us, carry us, lift us up, and move us on, move us out. May the power of your Holy Spirit be all that we need each and every day as we hold on to you through it all. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've called us to be. May we be walking with you each and every step. Let us share together a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now as we receive the offering this morning, continue to tap into your faith and understanding that all we have truly comes from the Lord. And just by giving back a portion, we are participating in all that the Lord is doing in the world through us, through this community of faith. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? join with me in the prayer of dedication? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Yet how good it is to see living acts of faith in Christ's church and its people. Bless, O Lord, the offerings we give, that others may know your love and come to trust your provision and peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Come.
Amen.
Special music indeed. Our scripture reading today is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through 40, and then chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as if they were on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried it, they were drowned. By faith, Jericho's walls fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute wasn't killed with the disobedient because she welcomed the spies in peace. What more can I say? I would run out of time if I told you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, brought about justice, realized promises, shut the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped from the edge of the sword, found strength in weakness, were mighty in war, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured and refused to be released so they could gain a better resurrection. But others experienced public shame by being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and in prison. They were stoned to death. They were cut in two. And they died by being murdered with swords. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats, needy, oppressed, and mistreated. The world didn't deserve them. They wandered around in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. All these people didn't receive what was promised, though they were given approval for their faith. God provided something better for us, so they wouldn't be made perfect without us. So then, with endurance, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's prisoner and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and sat down at the right side of God's throne. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, last Sunday, we started a sermon series on faith, which is inspired by just a couple chapters of this book of Hebrews. We began by setting the foundation first with the working definition of faith understood by the writer of Hebrews. And it's faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. And then second, I shared four foundational pillars for us to stand on as we journey in our life of faith. Belief, trust, fidelity, and agency. Where our belief is in the reality of God, our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, our trust is founded in God's faithfulness to be who God says He is, and our fidelity, our faithfulness to the Lord, is given by submitting to God's transforming grace to live in the Lord's will and way throughout life's journey. And finally, we give ourselves to the Lord as God's agents in the work of salvation in the world through the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. These pillars express that faith is not a part of life. Rather, faith is our way of life. Now, the reality we hope for, a life eternally in God's presence, free of sin and death, isn't fully realized. But in Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension, this reality is ours and will be brought to completion in Christ's return. Theologians call this the now and not yet reality of a life of faith in Jesus Christ. Because this reality is being worked out in us by grace through faith, our faith is the proof of what we don't see and is the witness to the world of the reality we hope for. The truth of the matter is a life of faith is a long haul in a world that is headed in a completely different direction. Many who explore a life of faith expect their faith to prevent them from experiencing hardship and challenge. However, what we need to accept is a life of faith is the source of endurance to finish the race as we encounter life's obstacles. So today I want to draw out from our scripture in Hebrew, what are the keys to enduring faith? Our reading this week picks up where we left off last week. The author continued a list of faithful characters in the Hebrew people's story. And by the way, in case we were wondering, their history of faith is also our faith history too. We can't lose sight of this truth. The list began with Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, who are pursuing the promise of the inheritance of the land God was going to give them. Even though they themselves did not live to see the day the promised land would be theirs, they endured the journey of faith. The list today continues with references to Moses leading the Hebrews through the Red Sea, Joshua leading the Hebrews into Jericho, the first city in the promised land that was their own. And the list goes on, even listing Rahab, the prostitute who aided Joshua's success in Jericho. Then several other names were given, some more familiar than others, but all by faith walked with God toward the promise, facing unbelievable challenges and obstacles. Many of these stories ended with celebration and victory through the power of God and for God's glory. Then the author of Hebrews then noted this. But others experienced public shame by being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and prison. They were stoned to death. They were cut in two, and they died by being murdered with swords, needy, oppressed, mistreated. Their stories of faith didn't end with rejoicing in their circumstances like some of the others. Yet by faith, they endured to the end. Why? Enduring faith is lived with purpose in the promise. The promise is what we live for. Just to reiterate, the promise we live for is a new life of transforming grace into the likeness of Christ that leads to eternal life in the presence and goodness of God and all the faithful who endure the journey. To endure, we must live with purpose. To see the promise realized in us and through us. Remember, we're agents of God. To be the best agents we can be, we should be purposeful about the life of faith we live. So when we wake up in the morning, what are we living for? Our why should be to glorify Jesus by submitting to Him, to be like Him and demonstrating His love in all that we do, whatever that may be. This kind of purposeful living will prepare us for a time we are asked to stand at the edge of our Red Sea to lead others by faith in the promise. Or perhaps ridiculed for believing Jesus is anything other than an ancient peasant. So, with purpose in the promise as our why, the author of Hebrews encouraged, so then, with endurance, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So by faith with purpose, we each have our own race to run. It's not a sprint. It's not even a marathon. It's an eternal race. I know everyone can't relate with a life of faith being compared to a race to the finish where we receive the crown of righteousness. But as someone who has been a runner the majority of my life, I appreciate this analogy. My understanding of endurance running was challenged a few years ago when I started training for a half marathon leading up to my 50th birthday. I trained for and I competed in numerous 5K races, which are 3.1 miles, compared to the 13.1 miles of a half marathon. And all those 5K races, they were easy. Even when I was out of shape, I could fight through to the end on my own. Well, this doesn't happen with a half marathon. It takes months of training with gradual increasing of miles, with each increase seeming unreachable. To stay the course with my training, I needed encouragement. I needed accountability. I needed testimony from others who have been through this rigor before me. I needed someone to train with, even if they weren't at the same training level. The camaraderie was inspiring. And when it came to the race day, I was amazed at the level of support of people that lined the course of the half marathon. Some were family and friends of the runners, but most of them were those who understood the challenge of the journey. They cheered. They provided water. They played music that was uplifting and attended to those who were hurt or struggling to continue. No one was left to go it alone. Along with those who were with me during the training, all these supporters that were there that day of the race were like the cloud of witnesses mentioned in our passage today. They all were part of the race that was laid out before me. I finished the race largely due to the people that invited me to enter the race, directed my training, trained with me, raced with me, and encouraged me all along the way. You see, friends, enduring faith is inspired and sustained in a community of faith. The characters in the Bible are part of our community. Their faithfulness is inspiring, encouraging, and many times something that we can relate to. To be encouraged, we have to know their stories. Put ourselves in their shoes. Recognize the purpose that moves them forward toward the promise. You see, they were witnesses to Christ, the coming Messiah, before the incarnation of God in Jesus, God's Son. But now look around you. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're also members of the cloud of witnesses. Be inspired and encouraged by their faith. And be an inspiration to them. Because you see, we are the witnesses to Christ after the incarnation. By faith, we must continue to run the race as a community because it isn't finished yet. And one more thing, no one enters a race without the intention of finishing. So be intentional to endure to the end. Now, everything I've talked up to this point can only take us so far in the race. We can't finish the race without Jesus. And we can't stay the same. The author of Hebrews inspires their readers, writing, "Let's throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter." So Jesus, God in the flesh, is the first human to complete the race. He is the original witness to our faith journey. He is our example of enduring faith. He lived with purpose in the promise of being returned to the Father after the Father sent him into the world to save us by an unbelievable journey to the cross. Our text reminds us simply, he endured the cross, ignoring the shame for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Jesus endured. Jesus endured by never taking his eye off his Father. Always focused on the joy that he knew awaited him. Because God the Father is faithful to fulfilling the promise. Jesus constantly approached his Father in prayer, desiring to follow his guidance and obeying his will. Jesus even welcomed and cooperated with the Holy Spirit through his journey to resist the evil and temptation that followed him all along the way. So like Jesus' faith journey with God the Father, our faith walk is with Jesus. Enduring faith abides in Jesus Christ. Now to abide is to dwell with, remain in, to be present to, and to be held and kept by. Enduring the race takes focus to remain present in the moment, in the will and the way of the Lord Jesus. Abiding in Jesus keeps us from straying off course. As the Lord removes sin from our lives, as we welcome and cooperate with the Holy Spirit's transforming power, and through this work, Jesus is perfecting our faith response to be like His. If we step away from Jesus, losing our focus, you know, because of our sinful nature, we will trip up. However, Jesus is faithful and will restore us when we return to Him. So if we stay rather than returning, just imagine. Enduring faith is a maturing faith which grows as we experience Jesus' faithfulness. James wrote it this way in his letter. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. There is joy that is laid out before us. And by enduring faith, this joy is ours. So may perseverance in Christ finish its work in us. As we live with purpose in the promise, inspire and sustain each other in our community, and all the while abiding in Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Amen.
Please rise for our closing hymn, Take Up Thy Cross, number 415, and on the screens.
And now from Romans 15, 5 and 6, let this be our benediction. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one purpose and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.